Well, if you're a Stanford fan and if you've gone trick-or-treating at Stanford Stadium on Saturday night, you know what you would have gotten? A rock. Not pretty stuff at Stanford Stadium on Saturday night as the Cardinals drop a 20-13 loss to the Washington Huskies. And that's what we're here to break down on this episode of the TreeCast with Troy Clarity on the Believe Podcast Network, Sunday, October 31st. 2021 Halloween. Hope that you've enjoyed the weekend so far, Saturday night's result notwithstanding, and that you're being safe and celebrating the Halloween weekend as best as you possibly can. We're going to talk about some scary stuff on this episode. Great to have you with us, Troy Clarity here. Season number 29 of Following Stanford Football. Season number 8 of Play-by-Play with the Pac-12 Network. And on this episode of the show, you're obviously going to hear from Stanford head coach David Shaw, inside linebacker Lavonnie DeMooney, plus a little bit from tight end Ben Jurosik, as well as everyone tries to pick up the pieces and sort through what the heck happened against the Washington Huskies, a team that was, like Stanford, at 3-4 coming into last week's Pac-12 football action, but had really struggled offensively throughout much of the season. Even lost to Montana at home, only scoring 7 points against the Grizzlies, and those 7 points came in the opening drive. But the Huskies able to put it together against a Stanford squad that is really starting to flail around a little bit and needs to find something to cling on to and do it quickly if they want to have any hope of any bowl aspirations. As always, I encourage you to hit me up with the follow on Twitter at Troy Clarity. Last misspelled C-L-A-R-D-Y at Troy Clarity for the follow on Twitter. Subscribe to the show, rate and review the show. You can check it out, of course, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts from. And hopefully this is one of your favorite podcasts, even though today's probably not going to be one of your favorite episodes, I'm sure, but Apple Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify and Stitcher and Alexa and everyone tune in is also in on the TreeCast as well. Certainly encourage and thank you for subscribing, rating, reviewing, and reacting to the show as only you can. Well, no way to spin it. That was a pillow fight for much of the way between Stanford and Washington on Saturday night. Stanford didn't get its first touchdown until early in the fourth quarter after a 16-play, 75-yard drive. UW didn't get its first touchdown until 21 seconds left in the game. Unfortunately for Stanford, it just happened to be the game-winning touchdown as the Huskies were driving for the game-winning score, perhaps setting themselves up for the go-ahead field goal, but instead, Dylan Morris finding Jalen McMillan, who beat Stanford's Jaden Slocum, one-on-one coverage, hit McMillan in the end zone, 21 seconds left. Huskies added the two-point conversion, and UW got its first win on the farm in 14 years. David Shaw, obviously not thrilled with that outcome.
Have a locker room full of guys that are not happy right now, and they shouldn't be. So, you know, we looked at some things this week. We're going to look at some more things next week. This team is better than it's playing, and it's up to me to find out why we're not and what we can do to get there. Because we can play much better than we played again tonight, and I'm tired of saying that.
Yep, been a lot of soul searching right now in the coaches' offices and in the Stanford locker room as well, as the Cardinals try to regroup and do it quickly, as they've got a short week to face a Utah squad that's been playing very, very well of late. Three things you need to know about Stanford and Washington coming up in just a moment. But first, BetOnline is back and better than ever with a new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. So head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use their promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Stanford loses to Washington to drop to 3-5 on the year as we head into November.
Three things you need to know from the game here and now, starting with number
one.
And we talked about it in the preview episode, getting ready for this game, is as Stanford-Washington matched the two teams with the most rushing yards per game allowed in the Pac-12. UW ranked number 11, Stanford in last, both at around 200 yards rushing per game allowed entering this entering last week's contest. So what happened when these resistible forces met those movable objects? Stanford running backs ran for just 78 yards on 21 carries. And actually, that number is pretty good considering how Stanford fared on the ground the first three quarters of the game. They did next to nothing. Washington's running backs, 38 carries, 215 yards. Washington's last-minute drive, well, after an opening pass, UW ran it six straight times and picked up 36 yards before getting the game-winning pass. Stanford inside linebacker Lavani DeMooney, very, very unhappy with all of this.
Numbers from today and from past games just makes me sick looking at them. Just not enough gap integrity. Just need more of that grit, more of that nastiness on that those first and second downs in order to make those third downs easier. But especially in the run, where for that first down, we're always they're getting 6-7 yards a pop. So it's just, yeah, just need to bring in more. You know, I don't know. Just has not been what we wanted. What we want this season.
Lavani DeMooney and UW on the night with 15 rushing first downs. 15! Stanford at 5. We'll dive deeper into this later on in the show, but there's no question about this. Huskies won the line of scrimmage decisively on both sides of the ball. Let's get to number
2.
And personnel-wise, it was great to see a couple of guys back. Would have been so much nicer to have a couple of other guys back in the fold against the Huskies. E.J. Smith and safety Noah Williams back in the mix for Stanford. But Smith, as we've talked about over the last few weeks, I think without Smith being that Swiss Army type guy lining up in the slot, moving him around a little bit, getting quick passes, getting yardage after the catch, Stanford missed that after E.J. suffered his injury to his leg late in that Vanderbilt game. So it was good to have him back from that standpoint. Wide receivers Michael Wilson and John Humphreys, no, not so much. They were not dressed for the game, and they did not participate in pregame warmups. After the game, I asked David Shaw about having E.J. Smith back and how close Michael Wilson and John Humphreys are or were to returning against the Huskies.
Yeah, it was really good to see E.J. back out there. Had a great week of practice. He's completely healthy. Was a little rusty out there today. Still made some nice plays for us. I anticipate him being better next week. Just a week back, you know, after missing a few weeks. Mike and John, I think, are close. They're close. Both were late week calls. Both were not ready. wasn't really close. They weren't really ready, but they were able to come out and practice this week, which was good. Next week, short week. Monday, Tuesday on the field. We'll probably have to make an evaluation after Tuesday and see if those guys are ready. One or both of those guys ready to come back and join us.
As David Shaw also added to that, Elijah Higgins, who missed a few plays in the third quarter, and an already thin wide receiving core got even thinner at that point, but Higgins was able to return on the very next drive. But it was nice to see E.J. Smith and also Noah Williams back on the field, but no doubt about it, this team also needs Wilson and Humphreys back as well. Let's finish up three things with number
3.
The room where Stanford football's post-game press conferences are held, it's in the field house at the end of the stadium tunnel. And from that room where we are waiting for the coaches and the players to come in for Stanford, it's not that unusual to hear what's happening in the winning locker room. Both locker rooms are also in that field house as well. When Stanford beat Oregon a few weeks ago in a game that in some ways seemed like it was played in a completely different dimension, we could hear the team doing its C house chant. You could probably hear a pin drop in Stanford's locker room last night, according to Cardinal tight end Ben Urosa.
We're looking at the season. We're trying to finish off as strong as possible, right? We're not looking back at these last 3 weeks. Obviously, it's been very frustrating. Obviously, the locker room has been very quiet after, and that's not the feelings we want to have.
Ben Urosa, meanwhile, we could clearly hear the Huskies celebrating their win as someone grabbed an iPod or something like that. I don't know. And they were playing Prince's Purple Rain and turned it up to 11. Well, to steal the line from my man Hank Waddles at GoMightyCard.com, sign of the times. Meanwhile, for Stanford, something in the water does not compute. Those are three things. Let's go through some numbers of note. Tanner McKee, 21 of 32 for 194 yards. Threw two picks, got a rushing touchdown, but he was also sacked three times and fumbled once. Austin Jones, resurgent in the fourth quarter after being dormant in the third along with the rest of the Stanford rushing attack. He actually finished with decent numbers, 16 carries for 62 yards. And Ben Urosik with another nice night for him, six catches for 93 yards. No sacks, no turnovers for the Stanford defense. If you want to boil this game down to one sequence, I think for the most part you can start here. 3:12 left in the game. Stanford with the ball and a 13-12 lead after forcing a turnover on downs. And Cardinal first and 10 at their own 35. Think back to last year against the Huskies up in Seattle. After UW made it a 5-point game midway through the fourth quarter, Stanford ran off the final 7:54 of clock and closed out the win. Ran off the final 8 minutes of the game. This year, Stanford had a chance to salt away the win. And the running game was showing some signs of life. It had earlier in the fourth quarter with real live holes being opened up and everything. So now this was a chance for Stanford to do what it likes to do best in the second half. Hold on to leads and solidify leads and close out wins by running the ball. So what happens? First down. Austin Jones picks up 2 yards. Huskies call timeout with 3:07 to go. Second and 8. Jones picks up 3. UW calls its third and final timeout with 3:02 left. Third and 5 from Stanford's 40. McKee runs a bootleg. Has fullback Jay Simmons open, but doesn't see him quickly enough. Gets pressured as he rolls to the right. Finally throws, but uncorks one that's low and behind Simmons, who can't make the catch. Incomplete pass. Stops the clock. And for a team that has no timeouts left, as Washington did at that point, that's a godsend, a gift from the heavens. Shaw with his brief thoughts on what happened during that sequence.
At the end of the game, got an opportunity between running the ball and, you know, very infrequently, right? We'll throw the ball in that situation late in the game, and we couldn't connect. Good call, bad call. Hey, it's a bad call if it doesn't work. So that's on me. Probably shouldn't have done that. Trying to find a way to get a first down, try to end the game.
Yeah, no major quarrel with the third down call there for me. And the call was there. It was there. Simmons was open. But McKee, for whatever reason, didn't throw it early enough. Just wasn't executed well. And you could say, hey, Washington and no timeouts, just run the ball anyway. And at the very least, you bleed off some clock. And while, yes, there is that, you still had 5 yards to try to pick up. Probably a bit more likely that you were going to do it via a play like a bootleg than you were just with a straight handoff or a draw. Even though Stanford had been running the ball better than it had been throughout much of that game earlier in the fourth quarter. I just think that Stanford had a better chance of picking up that first down via the air. So instead of burning clock, as Stanford would have loved to have done on that possession, The card take just 21 seconds off the clock. 21 seconds. That's it. UW got it back with 2:51 to go. And even though the Huskies had to call their final two timeouts, they sure as heck got helped out by that incomplete pass. Oh, then Stanford got called for delay of game on the punt, which went out of bounds for just a 32-yard kick, giving the Huskies relatively decent field position. So just about everything Stanford absolutely could not do on third down and fourth down in that situation, Stanford did them. They checked all of those boxes. A disastrous third and fourth down sequence for Stanford as it was trying to do something that it had not done really at any point this year. Hang on to a lead by running down clock. It was right there for him. And the Cardinal couldn't do it. And it goes back to this. Stanford was beaten thoroughly on both sides of the line. Not just offensively, but both sides of the line. In the past 15 years, Stanford has largely been much better in the trenches than UW. You know, we talked about this last week. Stanford dropping 446 yards rushing on the Huskies 10 years ago. Joshua Garnett blowing up that linebacker a few years ago as well for the Huskies, just embarrassing the poor kid, posterizing him, and Garnett becoming an instant hero to all offensive linemen everywhere. Past 15 years, Stanford has been decisively better in the trenches than the Huskies. And actually, that was the main reason why I actually picked Washington to finish just fourth in the North behind Stanford, because I thought Stanford would be better up front than the Huskies again this year. Well, based on Saturday night in the head-to-head matchup, I was wrong. We saw the rotation at right tackle for Stanford that David Shaw told us would happen, with Branson Bragg normally playing right guard, starting instead at right tackle and playing most of the game there, with Jake Hornibrook playing right guard for much of the way. Miles Hinton, the normal starter at right tackle, played a couple series there, but obviously Branson Bragg with the lion's share of playing time there. But even with that, I didn't see any real difference from how things have gone largely up front for Stanford, certainly over the past few weeks in particular. UW's defensive line was much stronger, pushing dudes back into the backfield on several occasions. And their linebackers were much quicker. Meanwhile, on the other side, Stanford's front seven a non-factor. Washington with a makeshift offensive line. Yet, somehow, they were able to consistently put hats on people, open up holes, and seal off edges. And the Husky offensive line was winning their battles by midway through the second quarter. They had established themselves by that point. So Huskies turned the tables on Stanford on Saturday night, reversing what had been the trend for much of the last 15 years, as Stanford decisively, and maybe even in some cases, thoroughly beaten on both sides of the line. And until that turns around, it's going to be tough sledding for Stanford on both sides of the ball. Now, it wasn't just the line play. Offensively, Stanford saving its biggest mistakes for the biggest situations possible in plus territory. Third and five from the Washington 15 early in the second quarter. McKee forces one to Elijah Higgins, short of a marker. Even worse, ball gets tipped and picked off. Huskies turned that into a go-ahead field goal. Big play in that sequence. Stanford could have been up 10-3 if they'd been able to punch that one in. Instead, ended up being a 6-3 Washington lead, and that lead would get bigger before the end of the half. That play was probably the biggest illustration of another empty drive for the Cardinal. We've seen that quite often. And that left David Shaw to sing a familiar song after the game.
I got to go back and look at the film. Got a good feeling, but I want to look at the film and confirm a couple things. But, you know, for us to have the drives, three drives off the top of my head right now, where we marched down the field, you know, looking great. Actually, technically four drives, including the one we scored a touchdown on late. Four drives during the game, and those four drives coming up with 10 points. Turnover, field goal, late touchdown, you know, early. It's uneven.
Yeah, Stanford struggled in the second quarter, of games lately, by the way. Scoring just 3 points in the second quarter in the last three games. Just 3 points total. Really tough sledding for Stanford, and much of it self-inflicted. Opening drive, a chance to maybe punch it in for six. Tried the back shoulder fade from McKee as he tried to hit Elijah Higgins. Well defensed, we'll give the Huskies credit on that one a bit. But not the most accurate pass for McKee in that situation either to help give Higgins a true chance to make that play. And I know some folks out there are they're loath to hear the fact that it's execution whenever things don't go right for the Cardinal, but it's true. It's true. And by the way, yes, I saw Emmett Smith's tweet last night, Saturday night during the game. Here's the thing. If you want to feature the running backs, you got to have the offensive line to do it. This Stanford team's better at throwing the ball than it is at running it. And let's face it, EJ gives this passing attack something it's been missing. So right now, the best way to feature him is as a receiver. If you start giving EJ the rock, do you have any confidence at all that the line is going to open up the holes that he needs and give him a chance to get things going and to make big plays? Right now, quite honestly, as I sit here late Sunday morning, I don't. So the best way to feature EJ is as a receiver right now, because the best chance that Stanford has as an offense is to feature the quarterback. Now, is this offense predictable? That's another conversation to be had, but you got to feature the quarterback. That's the best way to go right now for this offense. Had to get that off my chest. A couple other things I want to get off my chest here for a moment, as far as things that didn't go right. I don't mind playing the field position and defense game, but it helps when you have the defense to pull it off. Goes for timeout management too. Let me take you back to late first half, 3 minutes to go. Huskies up 6-3, UW ball at its own 5-yard line. They run the ball to the 7, just a 2-yard pickup, and Shaw calls timeout with 2:55 to go. And Washington with the ball at its own 7. Okay, with a defense that has more consistent success stopping people, calling that timeout at that particular time probably makes more sense. Not with this defense, unfortunately. UW threw for a first down on the next play, and then they drove to a field goal to end the half for a 9-3 lead. Meanwhile, the kicking game was a real letdown. A kickoff out of bounds after Stanford got the touchdown and had some momentum, but then the next thing you know, Washington with great field position to try to get back in it. And Ryan Sanborn with some chances to pin the Huskies inside their own 20 on punts, only did it once. Actually hit a couple of short punts that went out of bounds. That gave the Huskies a lot better field position than they probably should have had. Now, as usual with Stanford this year, there actually were some pretty good moments. The defense with a big fourth down stop early in the fourth quarter with UW up 12-10 after Stanford had just gotten its first touchdown. Huskies had 2nd and 2 from the Stanford 46, and they didn't get the first down. Stanford stopping Cameron Davis for a yard, dropping him for no gain on 3rd down, and then snuffing out the sneak from Dylan Morris. That opened up the way for Stanford to get their go-ahead field goal drive. bright spot for Stanford defensively. Lavani DeMooney takes us through it.
Yeah, that first down, they got a good chunk on us, and but those second, third, and fourth, that second down, I think maybe it was a TFL, I can't remember, but when we stopped them on third down, yeah, that was a big deal, and we knew they were going to go for it, and we just knew that look when they get under short yardage, they're under center with one back, and those tight ends are close like that, that's their sneak look, and so, yeah, just yelling sneak to alert everybody. We got that A gap closed off, and then, got that good push. But again, like what I said earlier about those downs could have been much easier if that first down wasn't so much. So, but yeah, it was good. We stepped up right there when we needed to. So proud of the D right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember when Stanford had allowed 17 straight fourth down conversions, a trend that had stretched over three different seasons? Well, since snapping that streak with that big goal line stop against Oregon, Stanford opponents on fourth down, 2 for 7. 2 for 7. You'd like it to be 0 for 7, but that's still a heck of a lot better than 17 for 17. So the Cardinal actually faring better on fourth down defensively. Hey, yay. That's a positive. I'll take it at this point. Maybe I'm grasping for straws, but, you know, any port in a storm, right? And at that point in the game, Stanford was actually swarming to the ball. Something we hadn't seen much of this year. And they'd actually stopped the Huskies again on fourth down later in the game. Caillou Blue Kelly with the big pass breakup to end that Huskies drive. And to set the stage for Stanford to run down the final 3:12 of clock. Oh, wait. No, that didn't happen. So, flashes from the defense. And I liked much of Stanford's early offensive game plan. The variety of formations, the usage of E.J. Smith, the motion. We saw some pretty creative ways of getting the ball to Ben Jurasik and Elijah Higgins on play fakes and screens, misdirection. I really liked a lot of the different things that we saw from Stanford in that respect. And on Stanford's touchdown drive, my God, we actually saw legitimate run blocking from the offensive line with dudes getting hats on people. Linemen getting up to the second level. And Austin Jones running through holes. I had forgotten what that actually looked like. So there actually were some good things that Stanford did during the course of Saturday night's game against the Huskies. But as has been the case, unfortunately, more often than not so far this year, the good things are overshadowed by the self-inflicted wounds that Stanford seems to insist upon putting upon itself. Now, look, Washington beat Stanford, especially in the trenches on both sides of the ball. But once again, Stanford beat Stanford. So, what's ahead? Who knows? I mean, I'd like to think that Utah having to come here on a short week is a potentially big advantage for Stanford. But the way Utah and Stanford are respectively playing right now, it's really hard for me to go there. It really is. And oh, by the way, that's a pretty physical ball club, especially in the trenches. Oregon State has a bruising running game. They took one on the chin. I'm still surprised that by that result they had over in Berkeley on Saturday afternoon. But Beavs have a bruising running game and a quarterback who's good for 2 to 3 just wow throws a game. Cal is acting like it wants to play some ball right now. I didn't see that coming from them on Saturday against Oregon State. And I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to Notre Dame, quite honestly. But they're a pretty good squad. Pretty good squad. This was supposed to be the easy half of Stanford's schedule. But unless a lot of things change right away, it's not going to be the easy half at all. I always welcome your reaction. Hashtag TreeCast on Twitter is the way to go there. That's the best way to ensure that I see what you've got on your mind. Probably not great. I'm not too thrilled about things myself. frustrating. And if this is what I'm going through, I can only imagine what the coaches and the players themselves are going through right now. Not a lot of time to turn it around. As mentioned, Stanford against Utah, Friday night football on the farm. As the Utes pretty much have the South, they're in the driver's seat in a big-time way down there. And clearly with some of the losses that they have suffered as a team, and I'm not just talking about wins and losses, but a couple of beloved young men in that program losing their lives over the last year, and with what that team is playing for, it's going to be a tall task for Stanford, certainly this Friday. Then again, you know what? I've been in this situation, you know, many times over the years, and Stanford's come out on top. So can I rule out Stanford doing some big things and doing something special and coming away with the win against the Utah Utes? No, I can't. Do a lot of things and a lot of dominoes have to fall in the right places for that to happen? Yep, they sure do. Short week. I don't think it'll change our posting schedule that much for this week. Looking to come at you again on Thursday morning to preview Stanford versus Utah. Our post show, decent chance it might not actually come until Sunday, as I have Pac-12 Network play-by-play duties on Saturday. So I wouldn't rule out maybe a show coming up on Saturday after the game. But more likely on Sunday, I would think, at this point. Either way, the next time we'll talk to you will be on Thursday morning is when our next episode should post. Again, don't forget, subscribe to the show. Be a part of the program. We always appreciate it when you do. And certainly thank you, a big time thank you to those of you who have checked out the program. And even more, those of you who have shared the program, shared the show with other Stanford fans. Heck, even other fans who might not necessarily be rooting on the Cardinal. But appreciative of those of you who listen to the show and stay with us. Don't know what it's going to look like the next few weeks, but we'll be here for it. So we'll talk to you on Thursday. You heard from David Shaw, you heard from Ben Jurasik, and you heard from Levani DeMooney. Thanks to you for being a part of the program. Don't drink and drive. If you do, you're the dumbest person on the planet. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay sane. Back the pack and back the vac. Talk to you later this week on the TreeCast with Troy Clarity on the Believe Podcast Network.